6 days to Thanksgiving. I love this holiday for several reasons. First, so many New Yorkers leave town that the rest of us can all of a sudden find theater tickets and can book tables at restaurants and even walk the streets without bumping into those who have departed for the mountains or the shores or grandma's house. Go ahead and leave, see if we care. We actually prefer. Second, the city assumes a tranquil calm, at least from Wednesday evening to Thursday early afternoon. It's as if someone pulled the plug on Manhattan. Thereafter, of course, all of the shopping and the sales and the Christmas music intended to promote more shopping and sales, that all begins. They saturate the environment. It is a uniquely American phenomenon, by the way, to shop on days of memory and thanks. But there is enough left in those preceding 18 hours to really convey the central message of the holiday. Third, the reality that Thanksgiving is a secular holiday allows all Americans to partake in the ingathering of families celebrating the blessings of life, stuffing turkeys, and stuffing ourselves with all of the bounty of the earth, how good it is to be alive. Fourth, the message of the holiday is gratitude, thanksgiving. In our era, we do not praise enough. We do not thank enough. So a holiday dedicated to giving thanks is desperately needed in our country. If you wake up in the morning healthy, if your body is working reasonably well, if you have lived to see children and grandchildren, if you have good and supportive partners and friends, if you have the capacity to put food on your table, if you have a safe home, if you are literate, if you have a job, you should be extraordinarily grateful. Most people who ever lived never had these gifts in the abundance that we enjoy today in New York City in the United States. In this week's Torah portion, Vayishlach, we read of Jacob, who has returned home after 20 years in exile. Those years were good to him. 20 years before, he left home alone with nothing but the clothes on his back. Now he is returning healthy, wealthy, and wise. When Jacob steps foot in the land of Israel for the first time in 20 years, he no doubt remembers what life was like 20 years before when he left. He is so grateful for all of his blessings that he built an altar of thanksgiving to God. He called the place El Elohei Yisrael, which means something like, "To this place I offer thanksgiving to the God of Israel." The Bible employs one three-letter word to describe Jacob's condition upon returning home. You've all heard it before. Even those of you who are not fluent in Hebrew, you know the word. Vayavo Yaakov Shalem. And Jacob arrived Shalem. It is the same word as Shalom. In peace. But it means not only in peace. Shalem means whole, in harmony, intact, complete. Now, since all that the Bible tells us is that Jacob arrived Shalem, Jewish tradition wanted to know what defines wholeness and harmony. What should people want? What should they strive for? What are the elements of life that make up Shalemness? Wholeness. The Talmud explains that when the Bible described Jacob as Shalem, what the Bible means is that Jacob was whole in body, whole in money, and whole in knowledge. What generated Jacob's overflowing gratitude and thanksgiving was his recognition that he possessed physical health, financial health, and intellectual and emotional health. and that he possessed all three in sufficiency and in harmony. The sages were as profound as they were brief. That's what all of us want: health, wealth, and understanding. It is what we work so hard to achieve. It is what we want most for our loved ones. These are the necessary components of a full life. But it is the relationship between these three elements of life that determine whether we are shalem, whole, and harmonious, and at peace. There are those in our world who are peak physical specimens. They are strong, they are swift, they are champions of athletic prowess, they are full in physical health, some possess stunning beauty, even before all of the cosmetic work and the tucking improvements or the hours spent in the gym pumping iron. Gorgeous physical specimens, overflowing with the luster of vitality and health. But they are not necessarily shalem. They are not necessarily whole and at peace. Some of them are miserable. They cannot get their act together. They are nasty. They make a lot of money, but they lose a lot of money as well. They are often in financial trouble. They fight with everyone, including their spouse and their partner and their children. People hover over them and around them, but few actually like them and admire them. How often are the tabloids filled with the trials and tribulations of athletes, actors, and musicians who seem to have so many spectacular physical attributes and talents, but whose very strengths in life become their weaknesses? How they could be improved if they only had understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. They themselves might trade away some of their beauty and even some of their money for the capacity to understand better who they are and what they were placed on this good earth to do. For how much is a little understanding of life worth? There are others who are not only materially comfortable, but are so accomplished financially that they are at the pinnacle of financial success. Their bank accounts and stock portfolios overflow. But they may have worked so hard to get there. They may have gotten there and become so corrupted at the peak that they have destroyed their health and their emotional stability. What is the price of the single-minded pursuit of wealth? What is the cost to our health? What is the cost to our relationships? How many of us know people whose troubles began only after they became wealthy? They dreamt of winning the lottery of life and won. And all their dreams came true. And now all they can think about is what a nightmare is their life. How good their lives used to be. Oh, if we could only return to those days when we had nothing. At least we had each other. It may be a cliche, but it's true. If you do not have good health, you ain't got nothing. And if you do not have people who love you, what is your purpose in life? To make more money? To sit on a mountain of cash overlooking the valley of life where the hungry and the destitute reside? And then there are those who are in good physical health and have good financial health, but have no understanding. They do not realize how fortunate they are. They do not realize how precariously we all teeter on the edge, how fragile we all really are, how in one day, in one skipped heartbeat, our lives can change forever. They take their good fortune for granted. They have no gratitude, no wisdom, no realization that there are other people in the world as well. They have been blessed with extraordinary gifts, but care only about themselves. There is no impulse to share, no talent to give, no feeling of commonality or mutuality or solidarity. Why should they feel blessed? Why should they build an altar of thanksgiving? They deserve what they accomplished. They made it all themselves or inherited it all themselves. They made all the right choices in life, or at least made the first right choice in choosing the right parents. How many of us know people who consider hunger to be a crisis, not to be a crisis, as long as they themselves have enough to eat? How many of us know people who care little about impoverished neighborhoods as long as their neighborhood is safe? The world can crack up as long as my house is spared. The city can go hungry as long as my freezer is full. I have turkey on my table. What are all these people complaining about? I have no responsibility to them. They should get off their duffs and work like me. To read about the newly elected congressman, a physician no less, who campaigned against public health insurance, and when told in his freshman orientation this week that his government health insurance policy does not begin until a month after he is sworn in February, he threw a hissy fit for waiting for a month? Why does it take so long? What am I going to do in the 28 days that I do not have health insurance? Government health insurance? Jacob offered thanksgiving because he was aware of the extraordinary gifts he had received. He had received the three elements that we all need for a complete life. He had health, he had wealth, and he had understanding. But not only did he have these gifts, he had them in the right proportion and in the right relationship one to the other. May we all be so blessed. As we gather with our families to rejoice in the bounty of life, so may we build an altar of thanksgiving. As we read in the daily prayer, and we shall soon recite in the Shabbat prayer, Modim anachnu lach, tzur chayenu magen ishenu. We are grateful to you, eternal our God. You are the rock of our life and the power that shields us in every age. We thank you for our lives which are in your hand and for our souls which are forever in your keeping and for your wondrous gifts at all times. For all these things, O sovereign God, let your name be exalted and blessed. Amen.